Forward Momentum.
Forward Momentum presents Sea of Stars, Odyssey. The Earth, the core of the Solar Federation, had known an extended period of peace and prosperity, but now, chaos and destruction reign. A shadowy cabal has been sundered, its members turning on one another with disastrous results. The world of Galmania is no more, its surface reduced to molten slag by their own ships, ships under the control of their former allies. On Earth, massive subspace anomalies have appeared, cutting our entire solar system off from the wider galaxy. The few Solar Federation ships outside the anomalies are mustering at a rally point at the Federation's furthest colony world, Alpha. Among the last to arrive is the battleship Argo.
Warp complete, Captain.
Monitoring? No additional effects on our systems.
ECS stable, but the main engine is still laboring a bit. I really recommend we get parked and shut it down for a thorough check.
Agreed, David. Pulsar, contact Alpha Control. Find us a slip.
Compliance and efficiencies. They have contacted us with docking coordinates at Orbital Station 1.
Excellent. Take us in, Mr. Jacobs.
Aye, Captain.
The planet Alpha is a lifeless orb, still cooling from its fiery creation untold eons ago. The Solar Federation has established numerous orbital facilities in hopes of shaping Alpha into an Earth-like world. With practiced ease, Stephen Jacobs deftly guides the great ship through the maze of traffic to Orbital Station 1. Oso, as it's been nicknamed, is indeed a great bear of a place. A central hub surrounded by dozens of arching rings, on which the citizenry of the station reside. From these arches sprout the docking facilities where ships can deliver cargo or make repairs. Many of these positions are filled with warships, an unusual but necessary sight.
Mooring lines secure. Auxiliary engines power down.
Powering down.
Position clamp secured. Captain, we're officially docked.
Good work. Let's go report in and find out what the hell is going on. David, the ship's yours. Get that engine repaired. Draw anyone you need. Even ask the other ships to spare hands if needed.
I'll have her patched up and ready in no time, Captain.
Good. Mr. Montgomery, Mr. Morgan, you're with me.
Just outside the bridge, Captain Venture and party are intercepted by the last person she wants to speak to now, Senator Lane.
Captain, I'd like to remain aboard the Argo when you depart for the upcoming action.
Absolutely not! You're the highest-ranking member of the Federation government away from Earth right now. I'm not risking you in a pitched battle.
Captain, please. Alpha will hardly be a safer place if things go amiss. Besides, I know you're a bit short on medical personnel. I've had training in that area, enough to be of help. Please, let me.
Very well. Report to Dr. Grigorov and follow his orders. But with all due respect, sir, we won't have time for issues. One hint of friction and I'll toss you in a life pod and leave you behind. Understood?
I'm just a humble med tech, eager to do their part.
Then on your way, Mr. Lane.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that a good idea, Captain?
Probably not. But we also don't have time for an argument.
The trio leave the Argo and enter the station proper. There they are met by a ground car for the ride into Alpha's command center and a briefing on the situation back home. The command center's briefing room is nearly full when Captain Venture's party arrive. They find seats just before it begins.
For those who don't know me, I'm Captain Theodore James of the Trafalgar. It's been decided that since I have seniority of the captains present, that I should take command for the upcoming operation. First, let's get everyone up to date. What we know is that at approximately 0430 hours Earth Mean Time, several intense subspace anomalies were reported just beyond the periphery of the solar system. Roughly an hour later, the anomalies merged into one of the largest warp fields ever recorded. This is what emerged. What you are looking at is a section of wall, a sphere, we believe. The sphere encompasses the entire solar system and much of the rest of Solar Federation territory. Only Alpha and Barnard Star are outside the sphere's periphery. We've been trying, unsuccessfully, to get a message through to Earth, or failing that, the rest of the fleet. We've been receiving garbled fragments on Sol-Fed frequencies, so we have reason to believe the fleet and our homes are still there.
It's a giant Dyson sphere.
Excuse me?
A Dyson sphere, a theoretical megastructure used to capture the energy of stars. Build one around a star, and it can create near-limitless energy. As far as I know, it's just a theory, a hypothetical idea. It's never been done before.
The engineering technology that would take to create, and someone warped it in? Around the whole system?
We're getting off topic, people. We have reason to believe this was a hostile act. This video was recorded less than an hour ago by a fast courier ship sent in for reconnaissance. The vessels on the screen are ships from the Galman Imperial Guard. They have taken up sentry positions at equidistant points around the sphere on any warp vector between it and the remaining Federation territory. Captain Venture, I understand you have engaged these vessels.
Yes, sir. Twice. We believe they may be drone ships. They maneuver too quickly to be crewed, they fight past logical endurance, and when defeated, they self-destruct. We've only recovered tiny, almost useless fragments of them.
To avoid confusion, we are designating the Galman forces green. These ships are being given the tactical designation blue.
They aren't Galman.
The ships in question are not, it seems, any longer affiliated with the Galman military. Before warping in, these ships, along with others like them, sterilized the entire surface of Galmania. The entire planetary population is believed dead, as is our ambassadorial team.
What?
Excuse me, Lieutenant?
Excuse me, sir. My brother was a part of that team on Galmania.
My condolences, son. If you wish to be excused from the briefing.
No, sir. Sorry for the interruption. Please continue.
Good man. The plan is simple, ladies and gentlemen. We need to punch a signal through to Earth. Whoever is controlling this thing obviously has a way of talking to their forces outside it. Therefore, there must be a way to talk to those inside it. We'll advance in a spearhead formation. We'll try boosting comm systems to maximum, but if necessary, we'll focus wave motion gun fire on a single point and smash our way in. You'll each receive your individual orders presently. For now, stock up on supplies and get your ships ready for heavy fighting. Dismissed. Captain Venture, a word?
Reg, head back with Cade. Get us ready. I'll be there soon.
Yes, Captain.
Yes, Captain James?
I know we've had our friction in the past. Is this going to be a problem?
No, sir. We've got a job to do. Let's do it.
Good. I have an important task for you. I know your ship has been having issues with her engines. I want the Argo to take command of a support formation to the rear. Keep us covered, and keep your eyes open.
Yes, sir.
Good. I see they gave you Montgomery as your first officer. He can be a bit stiff. How are you getting along?
Reg? Fine officer. Wish I'd been half the XO he is.
Reg?
We've relaxed a bit around each other. He's my good right hand, and we cover each other's blind spots.
Well, imagine that. I believe I was wrong about you, Madeline. You have settled into the big chair rather nicely.
Thank you, sir.
Returning to the Argo, Captain Venture and party find the ship running in top shape.
Wave engine! Operating at a stable 100%, Captain. Oh yeah! She hasn't been in this fine a condition since long before she was mothballed.
That's what I wanted to hear, David. Thank you.
Thank Haruna. She found a short in the system every maintenance subroutine has missed for the last 30 years. We cleared that up, and the engine purrs like a kitten.
Really? Seems like her enlisted days might be just about over.
Yep, I think she's due. Orders, Captain?
Make ready to get underway, and then gather the senior staff in the conference room. There's a lot to go over.
Three hours later, the operation begins. The fleet leaves Alpha and assumes positioning for a formation warp to the target. The word is given, and one by one the ships leap between dimensions. They emerge before the awe-inspiring sight of a steel curtain, stretching on into infinity in every direction. Towers and spires dot the surface, apparently at random. And between the spearhead and the wall, hundreds of Blue Faction ships. From the rear support formation, Captain Venture surveys the situation.
Mr. Montgomery, put the tactical schematic on the main panel.
The main group is 7 megameters ahead of us. The core of the formation are the Trafalgar, the Bismarck, and the Musashi. The flanks and fore of the spearhead are various cruiser and destroyer class vessels, with the carriers Challenger and Atlantis and the Olympus to the rear. All ships are launching their own fighter craft. Our formation is the Argo and 4 York-class frigates. The enemy are 9 megameters ahead of them, in high orbit of the sphere. At this distance, we can't get an accurate count, but it's at least hundreds, possibly thousands.
Message from our frigates, Captain. They report all astrofighters equipped for anti-ship torpedo attack. The frigates are settling into formation, covering possible vectors of enemy craft to the main group's rear or our flanks, as ordered.
Excellent. Star Force, battle stations.
Charging the main guns and defense grid.
Wave motion shields on standby, ready to deploy on your order.
Black Tigers, man your planes. Prepare to launch.
Gunnery crews ready. Laser target designation active.
Forward launching gate open. Alert fighters in the chute.
Trafalgar's group is making its run.
Godspeed, Captain James.
The Battle of Alpha begins. The spearhead of ships charge straight for the sphere, their powerful hyperwave communication systems at full strength, sending a single message over and over. Their only response comes from the Blue Faction ships, which move to intercept, and mere moments later, charged particle beams begin to sear through local space.
Formation to port! Attempting to assault main group rear!
Another to starboard! Their weapons are fully charged!
Have our escorts deal with the port formation. Cade, target the ships to starboard. Fire when ready.
Firing solution complete.
Firing!
All ships, launch fighters. Kate, have the Tigers run cover for the torpedo planes.
Hi, Captain.
You heard the order, boys. Hit 'em.
And so it goes. For nearly an hour, the ships of the Solar Federation dance with the enemy vessels. Through it all, the Trafalgar pushes closer to its goal. Yet the comm lines remain eerily silent. The Argo beats back assault after assault, and still, no response from Earth. Finally, the momentum changes, and the Trafalgar's group grinds to a halt.
Report from Trafalgar. They are going to reposition and fire wave motion guns to pierce the sphere.
They're already spreading out the battle line.
Damn it! Increase to combat speed 3. Close the gap between us. All covering ships, keep up with us and intensify firepower. We need to keep them covered at all costs.
Strange emissions coming from the sphere.
Clarify.
I can't, sir. The computer has never seen a waveform like this.
Collision! The escorts to our port side have lost power and drifted into each other.
Steven, evade!
On it, Captain.
Emergency communique from Trafalgar.
On screen!
Attention, fleet. If you're receiving this, can't tell. The entire fleet is losing power. If you've still got it, recover your fighters and run. Whatever this waveform is, it's knocking us out. All fighters, return to base ships immediately.
Enemy ship moving on the Musashi. It's dead in space.
Target the harassers. Cover the Musashi. Main guns ready to fire. Captain.
Ready.
Fire!
Musashi has suffered extreme damage.
Fire again. Drive those ships off, Musashi.
Enemy formation has broken through and moved onto the carriers. The Olympus is under heavy fire.
The whole fleet is dead in space but us!
Black Tigers commencing combat landings.
Mr. Morgan, fire at the ships targeting Bismarck.
Captain Fincher.
Solution complete.
Firing.
The Olympus has been destroyed. Enemy fleet moving toward our position.
Black Tigers aboard or accounted for.
Argo, run!
Combat, target the...
Madeline!
Resume your station, Reg.
We have been ordered to withdraw. Comply with the order or be relieved of your position.
The entire enemy fleet is converging on our position.
Right. Withdraw. Get us out of here, Stephen.
Aye, Captain. Coming about...
Commence emergency warp as soon as we're clear.
The Argo emerges from emergency warp in an empty sector of space. Captain Venture gives the order to make all repairs as quickly as possible, hands the bridge to her first officer, and retires to her cabin. There, she sits before the viewport, looking out over the void. In her bones, she feels she has failed. Failed her command, failed the service, failed everything.
So, Maddie, now what? Let me ask you, former Captain Hawkins, or your portrait at least. What would you do now? I looked up your record, you know. You were a real character. I doubt you'd have frozen the way I did. Maybe James was wrong. I haven't settled in. My first real action, and I had to be verbally slapped by my first officer. What had you said? Where's that letter you left me? Here it is. If you're anything like those who came before, you probably harbor at least some doubts as to your fitness for the post. You think? Trust your ship. Trust your crew. Treat them with the honor and dignity they deserve. Do so, and they will always see the mission done. And the blue shores of home once again. Good advice. Time to get off your butt and go to work, Maddie. That's what you do right now.
Regrets at interruption, Captain, but we're receiving a signal.
Where from, Pulsar?
Earth.
I'll be right down. On screen, Pulsar.
Compliance, Captain.
What kind of being is that?
Looks ethereal. Like an angel.
The whole is mysterious in her wonder.
People of the galaxy, my name is Baharuk Gao. My people are the Valbardan. We have seized and peacefully hold the territory of the Solar Federation. I know this day has been difficult, but our actions were taken only after lengthy consideration and at direst need. The Valbardan come from an existence outside your universe. It is a place much, much older than this. It is now in the twilight of its life. Soon, by our reckoning, its night will fall. However, this process has been hastened by your actions. The Solar Federation and the Galman Empire both utilize what you call wave motion technology. functions, in essence, by manipulating boundaries between dimensions, the walls between universes. This manipulation is destroying my home. One disruption 77 of your years ago was so severe, it caused my universe's diameter to decrease by half. Another one, 48 years ago, reduced it to a tenth its previous size. We can no longer tolerate your use of this dangerous toy, so we have taken it from you. The technological gap between our species is so vast, our science may seem as magic to you, but it allows us to preserve our existence without, we hope, requiring the end of yours. We have encased most of the Solar Federation's territory in what you call a Dyson Sphere. Wave motion technology does not function in proximity to it or from within it. Ships with wave engines within the sphere are being rescued and delivered to their destinations, where the ships themselves will be seized and altered to run on safer technologies. Once the danger of wave motion technology is purged from your universe, we will leave. We have no dreams of conquest or will to rule lower species.
Sure they don't.
To explain further, I present Edward Morgan of the Earth Provisional Council.
What? I thought he was dead.
What Lord Baharik has said is true. The Valbardin first approached the Solar Federation over a dozen years ago, asking us to abandon wave motion technology. They were rebuffed. Ever since, they have pleaded with the Federation government to save lives and abandon this technology in favor of safer alternatives.
Ugh, horse apples!
No. It's true, I think. I remember a couple officers at headquarters talking about it.
The Valbardin had no choice, and neither do we. They could crush our worlds with ease. Choose not to. For the time being, at least, the Solar Federation has been disbanded. In its place, the Provisional Council will handle all governmental functions and liaise with the Valbardin to oversee the abandonment of wave motion technology. All local and regional, even planetary governments recognized by the former Federation are remaining in place under the Provisional Council. Humans will rule humans. That is the promise the Valbardin have extended, and we have accepted.
This can't be.
Earlier today, remnants of the former Federation Navy attempted to breach the sphere. I regret to report that they failed. They were destroyed to the last ship. While every effort was made to rescue survivors, the death toll was catastrophic. All former Federation ships are ordered to stand down and surrender themselves to the Valbardin. Any who do will be conveyed through the sphere, and the crew dispersed to any planets they wish to live on. Any ships who resist will be destroyed.
You damn traitor!
If keeping us alive becomes too great a burden, if humanity resists, we will be annihilated. And so I beg of you, my fellow humans, acquiesce to the Valbardin. We will get through this. We will survive.
Finally, an apology. I regret that this is needed. The Valbardin respect life in all forms. But remember, this is the peaceful solution. Either way, your use of wave motion technology is over. Accept that and your world will be returned to you. Resist, and we will obliterate you. Your fleet has been crushed and your weapons are useless. Please, don't force us to escalate the situation.
So, what now, Captain?
What now, indeed? You've been listening to Sea of Stars, Odyssey, Episode 9, a Forward Momentum production, based on the anime Uchu Senkan Yamato, created by Yoshinobu Nishizaki and Leiji Matsumoto, and Star Blazers, which is copyright Voyager Entertainment. Heard in this episode were Jessica Osborne as Madeline Venture, James Baylog as Cade Morgan, Alex Tran as Thea Holtz. The Hamerton as Stephen Jacobs. Shannon Hobby as Addie Beaumont. Josh Lambright as Melvin Timms. James Cleveland as Pulsar. Stay Holland as David Erickson. Coor as Reginald Montgomery. Taylor Carlson as Kinu Ogawa. Matt Sego as Senator Lane. Leo Griffiths as Baharik Gao. Finn M.K. as Edward Morgan. Devin Cox as Captain James. And Lucas Kempe Cook, Tom Dowdy, and Jeremy Smith Sebasto as the Solar Federation captains. This is Kyle Akers. The episode was written and directed by Devin Cox. Music for the series comes primarily from the soundtracks of the anime Uchusenkan Yamato 2199, based on themes composed by Hiroshi Miyagawa and Kentaro Haneda, as well as new works composed by Akira Miyagawa. Series-specific sound effects were drawn from The Quest for Iskandar and Comet Empire DVD box sets, as well as the Sound Fantasia Yamato CD. Sea of Stars Odyssey is a non-profit fan production, produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Blazers, Uchusenkan Yamato, or any other copyrighted works mentioned or inferred herein, including any unoriginal music and sound effects, remain the property of their rights holders. No infringing claims are intended.
The Valbardin, a mysterious race from beyond our universe. They crushed our fleet like they were toys and stole our home from us. All over the galaxy, though, life must go on. We must pick up whatever pieces remain and move forward, somehow. Next time on Sea of Stars Odyssey, Episode 10, The Turning of Wheels. The longest of journeys begins with but a single step.